My name is Alan Morse. I'm from Perry, Kansas. I'm a 70-year-old man that believes in the gospel. God has changed my life totally since I believed the gospel. He's filled me with the Holy Spirit, and He gave me a great desire to teach the gospel to every person that I can. Today we're going to be dealing with the Gospel Explained, Part 2. We dealt with the first one, Part 1, dealt with Jesus. He died for our sins, and now we're going to be dealing with He was buried for 3 days. He was buried for 3 days. That's the second part of the gospel. The gospel is, let's look at the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I believe that the gospel is the most important, this is the most important verse in the Bible for the church. This is our salvation. This is what God, just what Jesus Christ alone wanted us to do for our salvation. Now this is in Corinthians, of course, and Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthian church who have already, each and every one of them, have accepted the gospel for their salvation. It says that here, moreover, brethren, he's talking to the brethren of the church of Corinthians, of Corinth, I declare unto you the gospel. Not a gospel, this is the gospel for your salvation, which I preached unto you, and which you have also received, and by which you stand, and by which also you are saved. This is salvation, my friends. This is the only salvation there is for anybody on this earth today, to believe the gospel. And you are saved when you believe the gospel. If you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. In other words, this is something that is not a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. And you truly got to believe this. But when you truly believe this gospel, everything will change in your life. So let's go on with this. It says, I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received. Now he received this gospel directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. He said, I didn't receive the gospel from men, nor was I taught it by men, but I received it from the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. This is the gospel. You believe that for your salvation, and you will be saved. What we're going to talk about today is, we're going to talk about he was buried. He was buried for 3 days. Tremendous. He had to die, and he had to be buried to prove that he was dead. So he was in the grave for 3 days. Now we want to turn. Everybody get their papers and pencils out, and so they can write these verses down. But we're going to turn to Matthew 27. We're going to go back to the left. Back to your left to Matthew. Acts, then John, Luke, Mark, and Matthew. Matthew 27. And we're going to look at verses 57. Matthew 27, verses 57. And we're talking about Christ's burial. And when the evening was come, there was a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged of the body of Jesus. And then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered to him. And when Joseph had taken the body and wrapped it in the clean linen cloth, he laid it in his own new tomb, which had been hewed out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there were Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. So we see that Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate, and he went and got the permission to get the body of Christ, and he took it to his grave. It's a grave site that he was going to use for himself, but he put Christ in this sepulcher. Now let's see what John has to say about it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to go over to John. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Everybody get the Bibles and turn to this. This is John chapter 19. This is Bible study. And we're going to look at verses 31. 31. And this is another describing Jesus' death. John 19, 31. The Jews therefore came in with the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate and their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken down. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first, and then the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear speared his side, and immediately came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bore witness, and his witness is true, and he knoweth that he said truth, and that ye might believe. For this scriptures were done, that the scripture, these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. For a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall not look upon whom they pierced. They shall look upon whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, came and secretly, for the fear of the Jews, sought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, this is a new person in it, who at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen, clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he had crucified there was a garden, and in this garden was a new sepulchre, in which was never a man had been laid. And they laid Jesus therefore, because the Jews of preparation day for the sepulchre was near at hand. So we found a new player in this, and this was Nicodemus, who came and brought the spices. So we see that Jesus was buried. And this is important. And he was put in this tomb, and they rolled that big stone shut on it. So now we turn to Acts chapter 27. Turn to Acts. We're going to go the opposite direction, to the right. Just the next chapter, next book, Acts, verses 2, chapter 2, and verses 27. Acts chapter 2, verses 27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt thou allow the Holy One to see corruption. This was a tremendous importance, because the fact that it was prophesied that he will never see corruption. And for 3 days he was in that tomb, and he never did see corruption. And this is important, because it fulfilled prophecy. And we'll see also in Acts 13:35, say virtually the same thing. Acts chapter 13, verses Acts chapter 13, verses 35. Therefore, as he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not allow thine Holy One to see corruption. And then we'll see that in Psalms. And let's just turn to Psalms. This has been at least 700 years before or more. You just take the Bible, and what pages you have left, you just kind of cut it in two and head back to the left. And you get awful close. Psalms chapter 16. Psalms chapter 16 and look at verse 10. 16, and we're looking at verses 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither will thou permit thy Holy One to see corruption. All of this is to fulfill prophecy. And of course, Jesus fulfilled a prophecy even in his burial. He fulfills prophecy. Now we're going to go to another burial, and we're going to show what happens when they go to 4 days in the tomb. But let's just turn to John. Go back to the right, to the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then we go to John. And we're going to go to chapter 11. John chapter 11. Verses 32. Now this is talking about Lazarus. And Lazarus was a very good friend of Jesus, and Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus got sick, and Jesus wasn't near the area at the time, but they sent a messenger to him and told him that Lazarus was sick. But Jesus delayed. He sat and delayed for 3 days. He didn't come, even though he loved him. But he didn't come because this was going to be to show how great our Lord Jesus is. And so let's start in verse 32. It says, and when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto the Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews were weeping who came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. You see, we know that Jesus was God. The Son of God took on the body of Jesus. He was God. He was always God, and he came to and took on this body of Jesus so that he could be here to do this exact same he's doing now. He's in the grave. He died for our sins, and he had to, even though he was God, he still had to take on a human body to die, because his regular body, before he took on this body, would never die, because he was God. So he had to take on this body. And not only did he take on the body, he took on the soul and spirit that we have. And he was really, it really bothered him, because these were people that were close to him. And he said, where ye lay him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And when he got these, Jesus wept. He actually cried. You see, he had tremendous love for these people. And then said the Jews, behold, how he loveth them. You see, it's not how we love Jesus. It's how Jesus loves us. And he loved us so much that he gave his whole life. He gave his life and died a horrible death to pay for our sin debt. If you were the only person out here, if you were the only person here, he would have died for you also. He loved you so much, and he did so. And some of them said, come, not this man who opened the eyes of the blind. Come, as it was not this man that opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should have died. Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a grave and a stone. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Mary and his sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. You see, his body was starting to see corruption, but Jesus' body didn't. They took him out. He left. He arose on the third day. This is the fourth day. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they came away to the stone. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee, for thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people who stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And then he said, and when he had said thus, he spoke, and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that it was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, go, loosen him, and let him go. This was to show you, really, the love of Christ, but it also showed you his power of raising Lazarus from the dead, and it also proved why that Jesus left the grave on the third day. He left the grave on the third day. Okay, we're going to be talking about this grave, so let's just go ahead and look at Isaiah. We're going to turn back again to Isaiah. You just take about half of the Bible and go back to the left. Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Verses 9. It says, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. So we see in Isaiah 53, he made the grave with a rich person. And of course he did. Now let's turn. We're going to turn to a whole new idea. And we're going to talk about what happened to Jesus when he was in the grave. And let's turn to Ephesians, back in the New Testament again. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Galatians and then Ephesians. And we go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 8. When Jesus was in the tomb, his body was in the tomb. But you see, Jesus' soul and spirit wasn't in the tomb. And here's what happened. We're going to start with verse 8. Therefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, this is Christ, he led captivities and gave gifts unto them. Now that he ascended, that is, but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended is the same also that ascended far above heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Now what we have here, and we're going to show it in several places, that Jesus went down to the center of the earth. And the center of the earth at that time was paradise. And that's where all the people from Adam to Noah to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to all the kings, David and Solomon, all the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, all of these people had died and they were gone in the grave. They were in the grave. And when they were in the grave, their soul and spirit didn't go to heaven. It went to paradise. They went to paradise. And because they went to paradise, they were still there. They couldn't go to heaven. And why couldn't they go to heaven? Well, I'm going to go to Second Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians. We're going to go back to the left to Second Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to look at 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead." So when Jesus died on that cross, everybody that preceded him were dead. Now, what did I mean by that? Well, we know that they went to their graves. All the prophets and David and Solomon and all of these had gone to the grave. But their soul and spirit, they went to paradise. And they were virtually held captive in paradise at that time. And so they weren't in heaven, but they were actually dead as far as going to heaven. See, they haven't been to heaven, and they couldn't go to heaven yet, because Jesus had to die and pay the sin debt for them. And so that is exactly why when he died, he was buried, his soul went down there to paradise, and he told them. He said, he preached to them, it says in 1 Peter. He preached to these people and told them that I now have paid the sin debt for you. And because the sins are paid, he paid the sin debt for all people, from Adam all the way to the last person on this earth. He paid the sin debt for them. And now they would be free to go to heaven. And so he took them to heaven, and he gave gifts to them. And now today, when a person dies, if they believe the gospel, they will go directly, their soul and spirit will go directly to heaven. Because the sin debt has been paid. Jesus died to pay that sin debt. And we believe the gospel. We believe he did it. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he was buried. And we believe that he rose from the dead. And that's salvation for us. So when we die, our body goes to the grave, but our soul and spirit goes directly to heaven. But when we believe the gospel, we receive the Spirit. And when we receive the Spirit, immediately when we believe the gospel, in Ephesians 1:13, he says, "If you believe the gospel, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit." And you go to Romans chapter 8, verses 11, it says, "That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit now lives in us and will raise us from the dead at the resurrection." How wonderful it is. And this all took place because of Jesus died on the cross. And that we believe that. And he paid for our sins. And so these folks who had died before Jesus went to the cross and before he died, now they could come out of paradise now and go directly to heaven. And now when we die, we can go directly to heaven also, if you believe the gospel. Now let's turn to Psalms chapter 68, and you get a little more idea about this. Psalms. Just kind of cut that last part in half. Go to the left as far as you can go, about in the middle, and you're going to find Psalms. And we're going to look at Psalms 68. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and verses 18. It says here, Thou hast ascended on high, and Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. You see, now God can deal, can live with them. You see, God couldn't be with them, because He can't be with people that have sin. That's why a non-believer can't go to heaven. It's not because of their sins. It's because of their sins that have been paid for. But they got to accept the gospel to make that work. All sins have been paid for. Only reason why a person is going to go to hell is because of unbelief. That's it. They didn't believe the gospel. They didn't believe the gospel. And give you a little idea about that. We find that in Romans chapter 2, verses 16. Romans chapter 2, verses 16, just turn to it. It's real simple, but I want you to get it. Romans chapter 2. Turn back to the right and go to 2 Corinthians. Go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 16. It says, In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. When will that be? When does God judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ? It's the great white throne judgment. That's when He's going to judge all the unbelievers. He said, it'll be according to my gospel. The gospel that I told you that you've got to believe. Everybody who doesn't believe the gospel is going to be judged by this gospel. And Jesus is going to judge them. He's going to say, Did you believe the gospel for your salvation? And most of them won't have a clue what it is. But those that do have a clue, they may say, Well, I believed in Jesus. I said, Did you believe the gospel? And then he opened up the book. And their name isn't written there. He said, I don't know you. Depart from me. And we know they go to the lake of fire, because everybody at that place will. But it'll be done because of unbelief. They didn't believe the gospel. Let's pray. And dear Father, I just pray that every person here, you would open their heart, that they would know the gospel, they would understand the gospel, and believe the gospel for their salvation. That's the number one prayer that I could say, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.